All right.
That'll be okay as long as I don't move too much. Okay.
What did you expect? Well, I didn't expect that, or I never expected that this would be so awesome, hard, boring, exciting, painful, easy, and the list could go on and on in our heads. Expectations are a funny thing because they are almost always, not 100%, but almost always, based on preconceived notions instead of experiential knowledge. Now, that's not always the case because sometimes we experience something and then we are going to do, taste, see, hear, touch, etc. a second time, and our expectations are then based on our first experience to a degree. Our experience can differ greatly from the first time to the second time. It can either be disappointing or wonderful. Then again, the experience a second time may be like our first experience, whatever that may be. I think of concerts when I think of that. You know, you go see somebody in concert, and you're like, oh, that was great. And then you can't wait to go see them again. You go see them again. It's like, well, that was kind of disappointing. Mm-hmm.
I think of Star Wars and then the spinoffs.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to experiencing something for the first time, such as marriage or parenting, it seems that the people who have no experience in these matters want to give you the most advice. If you talk to people who have been married, depending on their marriage, they may tell you how wonderful it is, how awful it is, or just say with a sheepish grin, you'll have to find out for yourself. And then you get the evil laugh. So before we go any further, let's look at the definition of the word expectation. It is the act of expecting or looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe the event will happen. Expectation differs from hope. Hope originates in desire and may exist with little or no ground of belief that the desired event will arrive. Expectation is founded on some reasons which render the event probable. Hope is directed to some good. Expectation is directed to good or evil. Have you ever wondered if the expectations you have for your marriage meet or are different than God's expectations? Have you ever wondered if the expectations you have for your marriage meet or are different than God's expectations for your marriage? Let's turn to Lamentations 3, 37 through 41 and start there. Now you might be thinking, wait, this portion of Scripture that this is not a portion of Scripture that talks about marriage. So why go to a book of lament to talk about marriage?
Why not?
Well, I want us to see that our expectations can be very different from what God expects. And sometimes our expectations can be unrealistic and place a heavy burden on our spouse because in reality, they're not there to fulfill those expectations completely. And sometimes you can never completely satisfy the other person. So Lamentations 3, 37 through 41. The Bible says, who has spoken, and it came to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain? A man about the punishment of his sins. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. So I think it's fair to say that all of us had some type of expectation about what our spouse would be like after we said I do. What our family would be like if we had children, what our marriage would be like, and all of that was based on past experiences. Now, what are those experiences? Well, it could be those experiences came from spending time with other families, seeing how they did life. It could be from reading books or listening to the so-called experts. They could have also been developed by your home life as a child and watching how your parents lived life. Those expectations could have either been good or bad, depending on the type of home you lived in, and how much or how little your parents were involved in your life, and how much affection they showed you and each other. Regardless, when we were dating, for the most part, we showed our spouse to be the best side of us as much as we could. Both of us expected to see that. Some of us might have said, if I get married, this is how my house is going to be run. This is how my life, or how life in our house will look. And if or when we have children, our children will fill in the blank. It could be that your home growing up was not what you wanted for your family, and so you set your expectations up to be different. It could also be that you cherished your home as a child and just expected that when you got married, your home would be very much like what you remembered as a child. Maybe you talked a lot, or maybe you talked little to no one about what life was in your house or what it would look like. And whether that's true or not, you still had expectations. Everybody has expectations. Maybe you even prayed and told God that this is what you wanted your home to look like. You might have been desirous of having a godly home, and that's good. But how many of us went into marriage expecting troubles, trials, sickness, fights, differences and opinions, differences of opinions, etc., and so on? Man, I can't wait to get married to have my first fight. Whoever said that? Man, when I get married, I expect there's going to be some bloodshed. Nobody says that. When you're thinking about marriage, what are you thinking about? All the good stuff. Nobody ever expects the bad stuff. Now, I always joke around with my wife and tell her we have met or exceeded 5 out of 6 vows. We've experienced better and worse in marriage. We've also experienced our share of sickness, but for the most part, we have good health. We have definitely experienced poorer. Now we're just waiting to fulfill the vow of richer. So we got 5 out of 6 down. Not bad. The point is, when we came into this relationship, we were not looking for or expecting the trials that come our way. We knew marriage would be hard at first, but we never expected some of the things that have happened to us. Who does? Right? We weren't expecting all the sickness and weird medical things that have happened to us. Because the truth be told, we say we expected hard times, but we never expected to go through the things we as a couple have gone through. And when you're married, when one spouse goes through a trial, it is a trial for both you and your spouse, because if you love your spouse, you feel a hurt that while it may be different from theirs, it is no less painful because of your love for them. Thus, Lamentations 3:37 is an important verse for marriage, because your marriage may not be the way you wanted it to be, and even though you've tried to design it a certain way, you have the question from God, who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? No one plans on sickness, sorrow, or loss. And while we know that it's a part of life, we somehow think that we are exempt from these things if we are married. But God sometimes sends things our way, to help us see that our marriage needs to be centered around Christ and not our expectations. Verses 38 and 39 says, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins? Marriage isn't a walk in the park, it's hard. And the reason it's hard is because two sinners who have their own expectations, desires, habits, preconceived notions, and motives are coming together in marriage, and it's hard enough to deal with ourselves and our sins, much less the sins of another. Plus, you are always having to confront your own sin, and now you are having to deal with, and sometimes confront, the sin of someone else on a full-time basis. That's hard. When there is sin in the home, God will do whatever He deems right and necessary to get our attention so that sin is confessed and forsaken in order to restore a right relationship to the Lord. If our relationship with the Lord is right, then our marriage, though it will not be perfect, will be what the Lord desires for us. I didn't say it would be what we want. There's a difference, because what we want and what the Lord desires for us may be different. We cannot love our spouse like we should if we do not love the Lord like we should. Plus, our prayers are hindered when there is sin in our marriage. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers are not hindered." If you're not dwelling in knowledge, if you're not loving and honoring your wife, if there's conflict, if you have ill will, then it doesn't matter how much you pray. It's not heard. And that goes for both of us. It's not just the husbands. You know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we can be upset with our spouse and we can have all these expectations for him, but the truth is if our heart isn't right with God, God's not going to hear our prayers. Even if the other person is wrong, if our motives, if our desires are selfish and idolatrous, then God's not going to hear them. Just because the other person is wrong doesn't mean that we're right. How we handle it could be wrong as well. So where do these unrealistic expectations come from, and why do we expect something different than what God expects? Do these unrealistic expectations come upon newlyweds, or is this something we have to fight against our entire marriage? Well, number one, there should be no fighting against unrealistic expectations because love should always win over an unrealistic expectation. Yet we can still have them, and we still fail in this area. I know it's hard to concentrate. So let me ask you a few questions. Besides football, what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving?
Food, family.
Food, family. Okay. When you sit down for a Thanksgiving meal, there are some real expectations about what you're going to eat, right? I don't know. Do any of you know the infamous orange turkey story? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you the orange turkey story. One year we were invited to a family member's house for Thanksgiving dinner. I was so excited because I love, this is Thanksgiving meal. Two slices of turkey breast. Take some stuffing, mash it between them like a sandwich. Pour some gravy over the top, some green beans, and that's dinner. That is exactly what I want. For dessert, homemade apple pie and either homemade ice cream or Breyers. Breyers vanilla. It's real. Good stuff, right? Well, when I wake up on Thursday morning, my taste buds can taste my dreams of Thanksgiving dinner. And whether you cook it at home or go somewhere, you are expecting to eat some very good food. If you go somewhere, when you arrive and get that first whiff of turkey, your taste buds throw a party. That is, until you hear and realize that the dinner you have been looking forward to is being served at someone else's house and not the one you're in. Expectations are dashed. Have you ever heard of orange chicken?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of orange turkey?
No.
Right. There's a reason why. Orange chicken is good. Orange turkey is not. The person cooking the turkey was so excited to let me know they had placed the turkey in a roasting bag and then filled it halfway up with orange juice. Because the turkey was in an oven bag, it cooked twice as fast as expected, so it was finished far before any of the sides were done or even started. The orange juice / drippings were used to make the sweet potatoes. And not that I like sweet potatoes to begin with, but that's what was used. We all sat down. The turkey was cold. It was orange in tint. It had an orange flavor because it was done hours beforehand, it was just, you know, there's one thing about pulling turkey out of the refrigerator and just eating like a cold turkey sandwich. But when it's just room temperature, it's just not good. Right? So, the person who did the cooking takes a big spoonful of sweet potatoes, puts them on my plate, and says, "Try that." So I go, "Okay." I take one bite, and he goes, "What do you think?" And I scoop the sweet potatoes onto his plate, and I looked at him, I said, "That's the most disgusting thing I have ever tasted." There was no stuffing. There was no gravy. Can't make gravy from orange juice. It was a disaster. Well, what does this have to do with marriage? I had set up unrealistic expectations, okay? Now, if I could do that for a meal we have once a year, imagine what kind of expectations I could set up for my wife, whom I live with every day. Mm-hmm. So let me put you on the spot. You don't have to answer, especially if your spouse is here. I don't want you getting slapped. What are some expectations we have for our marriage, and are they different from what the Lord wants for our marriage? Some expectations we have is that if you are a woman, your husband would help you around the house and pick up after himself every once in a while, maybe watch the kids or whatever else you could think of. If you're a man, you might expect your wife, if she's a stay-at-home wife, to have dinner ready, take care of the laundry, keep the home clean, or at least clean to some degree if you have little kids. Because you know when you have little kids, there's no such thing as a clean home. There's just not hit by a tornado. And then there's partial disaster area. That's how it is with little kids. None of these expectations are bad, unless, of course, we make them into an idol of our heart. As I said earlier, how we are brought up and what our family life was like plays a part in the expectations we set. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She had dinner ready for my dad when he got home. That could have been some of the expectations I had for Cindy when we got married, except we both worked. So how does that work? Well, I don't care that you've worked all day. Come home and make me dinner, woman. Actually, it wasn't that way. But we could do that. So let's look at some biblical expectations that God has for our marriage, because when it comes down to it, God's expectations are never unrealistic, and they are always what's best for us, whether it's in marriage, parenting, singleness, or just daily living. Men, the expectations that you have for your marriage should have nothing to do with your wife in one sense. Nothing to do with her. And the reason I say that is because you cannot change your wife, but you can change how you live and respond. So expectations for husbands. Up here, Ephesians 5, 25, 28, and 33 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered, as we read earlier. And then Luke 22:26. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. These should be your expectations for your marriage. And it doesn't matter how your wife responds. Whether she is thankful or appreciative is not why you love her. Lead and serve her. You should do this because to please the Lord, because this is His will for your marriage. This is what God expects. It's not about her. All right, ladies, expectations for you. Ephesians 5, 22 and 33. You got the verses there. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And then Mark 10:43. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you must be a servant. So do you see a pattern here? Love and respect and service. For the both of you, Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The greatest among us will be a servant. With that said, let me ask you this. How are you serving your spouse? Serving should not be dependent on what they do or don't do. We don't serve them because they serve us. We serve them to serve the Lord. Look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he waited for us to do something that warranted him serving us, then he would have never come in the first place. You can't look at your spouse and say, well, you know, she doesn't do much for me, so I'm not going to do much for her. Or, he doesn't do much for me, so I'm not going to do much for him. Well, he doesn't, she doesn't. That's not what God says. He says to love, husbands love, wives respect, both of us serve each other. Now let me finish the orange turkey story, okay? That was the stuffing in between the two turkey breasts that I talked about. When I reflected on it, it really showed me how my heart was. I wasn't thankful that we were invited for dinner. I wasn't thankful for all the hard work in preparing a meal. I wasn't thankful for anything that night. Really, I had set expectations up because in the past, I had regular turkey, not orange turkey. I had stuffing, or at least something that resembled that. I had gravy instead of orange juice. I had regular potatoes or garlic parmesan potatoes instead of orange juice sweet potatoes. I'm sorry, it's still disgusting no matter how you put a spin on it. And then everything else took so long that there were hors d'oeuvres made and people were devouring the hors d'oeuvres and it looked like a bunch of piranha with a dead carcass in the water when the hors d'oeuvres came out. That's just how family is, right? Unfortunately. But when you think about it, we have expectations. Husbands, we expect our wives to be a certain way. Wives, we expect our husbands to be a certain way. And when they don't meet those expectations, what do? We complain. Sometimes we complain to other people. Sometimes we complain to the Lord. Sometimes we complain to them. And the question is, what's in your heart? Is it a desire to serve God, or is it an idol that you have erected because of an expectation that isn't met the way you want? That's really what it comes down to. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's kind of hard to be thankful when you put expectations on people and even God that are outside the will of God. Your marriage is to be something that brings glory to God and shows others, whether saved or lost, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of your relationship with your spouse. That your spouse is not the center, that Christ is. And if your expectations... And let me say it this way, okay? If your expectations exceed those of what God says, then that's an idol. Because how can we exceed what God wants? We can't. It's all about the idols in our heart. And then what can happen? Well, we can and sometimes do show greater compassion to others than we do with our own spouse. They don't meet our expectations, so we become more compassionate to others outside of our marriage than the person that we're married to. We can and sometimes do show greater appreciation for what others do for us once in a while than we do for our spouse who serves us every day. Well, they didn't serve us the way I wanted. They didn't serve me the way I wanted. My expectations weren't met. Oh, but this person did this littlest thing and I was just so appreciative. Nobody knows you better than your spouse. And you don't know anybody else better than your spouse. And unfortunately, because we know each other so well, we place these expectations on each other that sometimes aren't realistic. And it's all about me, what I want. When we become disappointed in our spouse, we pray for the Lord to change them. First of all, God is never disappointed with us, as I've said that. We're going to talk more about that later on. But, and I know I said this last week, but it's worth repeating many times over. How do you pray for your spouse? Do you pray for them to become what you want them to be, or do you pray for the Lord to make them into what He wants them to be? Do you complain to God about your spouse, or do you say, Lord, change me? So Lamentations 3:40 and 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God and to the heavens. So what are some practical things that we can do in our marriage that says, I'm not going to set up expectations outside of God's word? Okay. But here's a question. And that's good. But if you stop complaining outwardly, are you still complaining inwardly?
You could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I just grow quiet and just complain to myself. It's like that one cartoon character. I think off of Precious Pup, I just rather. You know? Just grumble under my voice when I'm upset. With my kids, with my wife, with my job, whatever the case is. What are some other things that we can do? I don't want to be the one talking all the time.
Well, I think if you have to, you know, figure out how you're going to respond and behave, you know, in line with God's word, then you need to make sure that you're in God's word and that you're reading and studying and meditating and, you know, have it in your heart, because if that's not what's in your heart, then you're going to complain about your spouse, your job, and everything else.
Yep, your expectations will be worldly expectations.
Right. In order to have godly ones, you need to be in the Word of God.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we'll read so many different things or listen to so many different things instead of getting into the Word of God.
Right.
What else?
I think kind of like Nicole was saying, too, because I can say, well, my expectation is that my husband, you know, love me. Well, but if I have my idea of what that looks like, you know, well, to love me, then he needs to be saying this, but I need to be in the Word because I need to find out what does that look like. What does God say love is and respect? Because I might want to put my own spin on what love and respect is, right? I mean,
yeah. Like, one of the things I know not to do is buy Cindy roses. Because then I know for the next week, however long they last, she's just going to be sneezing all day.
Yeah.
So, do I show her I love her by buying roses, or do I not buy her roses and demonstrate my love some other way? So, you know, love shouldn't make you sick.
That's a good rule. I'll write that.
No, you might be love sick, but love shouldn't make you sick.
Oh, wow.
Do you have something?
I was going to ask what the question was again.
Oh, well, what are some things we can do to get rid of these unrealistic expectations that we have for our spouse and demonstrate love?
Yeah, I think it's essential that we actually know our wives and know what they like and dislike, you know, what causes them to be emotional. You know, I think for my wife at least, there are certain things that I may say that cause her to get emotional, you know, the way I may speak to her and things of that nature. So, you know, it's just like in our relationship with the Lord, we eternal life is to know God, right? And so if we're in a marriage relationship, it's essential that we know our spouse. As you already mentioned in this course, that, you know, our closest friends should be our wives. You know, that there should be no one else that we know more intimately than wives. You know, they're our closest companions that God has given us here on this earth.
And I think for men, and we'll get into this later, but for men it's just listening. But it's also observing. Like, one of the things I'll do And now, this year we've agreed not to buy each other Christmas presents. Because we're just trying to save the money for something else. We're getting the kids something. But I will literally observe things or listen to her all year long, so when it comes Christmas time, I don't have to say, hey, honey, what do you want for Christmas? Mm. I'm not picking on any guy who says that, okay? But I'm just saying, those are some of the things that, you know, and she may even say, you know, I would really like one of these. And she may say it in September. And it's after her birthday, so I'm not going to get her a belated birthday present. I'm just thinking, oh, well, okay. So, it's... And then when you're focusing on them, your expectation is to serve them, not for them to serve you. And when you're focusing on them, you also know the little things that you do that irritate them. You can say, well, I know that if I do this, it's going to irritate my wife. All right, so I'm not going to do that. I know if I do this, it's going to irritate my husband, so I'm not going to do that. You know, we used to fight about everything. Where you squeeze the toothpaste? Do you squeeze it on the back end and roll it up, or do you squeeze it in the middle? And we would get irritated with each other. What does it matter? The toothpaste is still coming out. It matters, huh?
Yeah. And therefore, to not have the flesh went out, I've really been clinging to James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You really have to, like, put yourself in check.
And what we don't realize is sometimes we can slowly drift away from God. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's like the frog in the frying pan or the boiling water. You stick him in the water and turn it on, he'll stay in there until he dies. And we can slowly drift away, and what happens is when we slowly drift away, the flesh starts to become a little bit stronger. Right. And so the things that didn't irritate us before now irritate us. And so our spouse says something or does something that they've done 100 times before, and now this time it sets you off. You're irritated. So if we're not staying in the Word of God, saying, God, what do you expect out of my marriage? What do you expect from me as a husband, as a wife? And then we're going to change that to, God, this is what I expect.
Yeah, we need to walk in the Spirit.
Because it's real easy to think that we're doing right, and then something sets us off, and then we have to realize that, wow, what's changed? You know, maybe I wasn't in the Word as much this week. Maybe I wasn't praying as much this week. Maybe I'm just crabby and I'm taking it out on my spouse because of something that happened at work because I didn't leave it at home. Maybe the kids irritated me at home and my spouse comes in and I need someone to vent to, and instead of just talking to them, I go off on them. There's so many different things. And unfortunately, when that happens, the other person, because of pride, responds in a way that isn't pleasing to God. And then you start looking at expectations. Well, they shouldn't treat me that way. Well, they shouldn't talk to me that way. And there we go, creating idols in of our heart. And the next thing you know is there's conflict in the home. All right. So, best thing you can do, search your hearts today and ask God to search your heart and help you rid yourself of the idols that you have erected in your life in regards to unrealistic and idolatrous expectations for your marriage, and then repent of them. And finally, lay all the expectations you have for your marriage on yourself through the Word of God and start serving the Lord by serving your spouse. When we do this, our marriage will change because our hearts will be changed by the Word of God. Again, we can't change anyone, right? We can't save ourselves. We can't save our spouse. We can't change our spouse, but we can be an example of how to live for Christ in marriage, even when there's conflict, even when there's expectations. So when you start to reflect on the love of Christ in your marriage, regardless of whether your spouse, or regardless of whether or not your spouse serves the Lord or serves you, you will see a change in your attitude towards your spouse, towards your marriage. We're ending a few minutes early. Any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, expectations?
I think that's very important to keep in mind that we don't have the ability to change the heart of our spouses. And so oftentimes, I know early on in my marriage, you know, I was striving to have my wife conform to my set of standards and trying to enforce things upon her, where it only leads to, you know, just a, you know, idolatry, really, you know, and so it's very important to live that godly lifestyle of humility, of actually willing to serve your wife, but also interceding on her behalf, desiring what God wants of us, not what we want.
Honey, can I tell the blueberry story?
Okay.
Perfect story of expectations again. We're home about a week. Okay. We get married, we go on our honeymoon, we're home for about a week. I knew she loved blueberry pancakes, still does. So me being a good husband, decides I'm going to make her blueberry pancakes. So I get the pancake mix out. This is before I made it homemade. And I make the mix and I'm looking all around the pantry for blueberries and I don't see any. But I see a box of blueberry muffin mix. The army side of me says adapt and overcome, right? Open the blueberry muffin box, leave the muffin mix in there, grab the blueberries out, drain them, throw them in the pancakes, make them. Yeah, I'm a good husband. I want to please my wife. We sit down to breakfast, she's enjoying the pancakes, and then she asks the question, where did you get the blueberries from? Me, being proud of myself, said, I took them out of the blueberry muffin mix. Now, have you ever seen the movie Wolfman? You know how full moon comes out, he transforms into a werewolf?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you never take the blueberries out of the blueberry muffin mix. She was mad at me. I instantly got mad. I said, no, you never take the blueberries out of the blueberry muffin mix. And if you don't like it, barf them back up and I'll put them back. And we fought for about 3 days. Didn't talk to each other for 3 days. Newlyweds.
Yep.
So then I went out and I bought a can of, like, jumbo blueberries. And I drained them and I made blueberry muffins with jumbo blueberries and I set them on the table and didn't say a thing. I had the expectation that she was going to be proud of me, that I showed her love by making her blueberry pancakes. She had the expectation that I was not going to rob the muffin mix of the can of blueberries, thus making it an incomplete box. See how easily we can set each other off when we have these expectations that are not based on God's word, but based on our flesh? We all do it. I'm sure we all could tell stories in our marriage where something happened and our expectations were destroyed, dashed, whatever the case is, and we responded in the flesh. Again, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. When we do that, then our expectations are to live for Christ, not for our spouse. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that your ways are perfect. And Lord, that if we lean to our own understanding, we'll just cause problems and heartache and chaos and confusion. But Lord, you never cause confusion. You are always perfect. You are always just in what you do. Lord, help us to have the expectation to please you in our marriage, regardless of our spouse, regardless of our circumstances or anything else that may come our way. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.